okay? I can't guarantee I'll say the same thing. I'm an addict. My name's Roseanne. And I'm grateful to be clean. So I'm supposed to be talking about what the program says isn't exactly what I'm talking about, because some of my dates when I first talked to somebody doing program weren't exactly right, but they were talking about kind of some of the changes that happened in the 90s to the World Service Conference. So I don't have a, I got clean. I first came to Narcotics Anonymous in February of 1983. And I came back to Narcotics Anonymous February 7th, 1986. And I got my first service commitment when I was 5 months clean. And I've always had a service commitment to Narcotics Anonymous. Sometimes two, three, five, sometimes way more than my fair share of service commitments. But when I got clean, you know, everybody was doing stuff, because if you weren't doing something, it wasn't getting done. Like, there was no room to come into Narcotics Anonymous to sit around and wait for somebody else to do it, because if you weren't participating, it wasn't being done. And so I came into an environment such as that. Now, I've always been a person, you know, when I was using, I do things with a lot of passion. Whatever I do, I'm all the way invested. That is who I am, and I'm not going to apologize for that. If that kind of, you don't like that, or I'm actually come to find out that I'm one of those people that people either really like a lot or maybe don't even know very much and dislike. And that's okay, because what's important for me today is that I like me. And so I know that one of the things about me is that I'm all the way invested in it. I'm very passionate in what, when I was using, I was all the way in. I was bought into that thing. I didn't want to be like sitting in the car waiting for, you know, you to take the money to go to somebody else. I want to get in there where that shit was happening. If that meant I needed to do X, Y, or Z to make that happen, that's what I was doing. So when I came into Narcotics Anonymous, I came with the same kind of attitude. I was desperate enough to want to do whatever it was that you suggested that I do, because I had come here before and not done that and was unable to stay clean. So when I came in, I was vested. Now, my first service commitment, honestly, I was attending this meeting because I was messing around with the secretary, was the reason why I was going to that meeting. Now, there wasn't even a meeting every day, so if you were going to Narcotics Anonymous, I mean, everybody was kind of messing around with everybody else on any given day. Shit was kind of like that. And the thing that I liked about Narcotics Anonymous when it was smaller, although I'm, you know, in favor of growth, but sometimes I think we get too many meetings, is that regardless of whether, you know, you had stuff going on with people, you had to get along with each other. You know, and even when we disagreed about stuff, Jeff Carr, he's passed away, so I'll say his name, we used to fight all the time at area service about shit. Like, really, sometimes it was pretty inappropriate and ugly. But we knew that, like, after that was over, like, we needed to get along and be together, because my life depended on the fact that he was staying clean and his life depended on the fact that I was staying clean. So there wasn't really a lot of room to be hating on somebody for a really long time. And the thing about service to Narcotics Anonymous is that I've learned more about me doing it than I've ever found out about you, when I'm willing to shine the light over this way. And everything that I am today is a sum total of my life experience, including a lot of service to Narcotics Anonymous. So I got involved in I was the GSR for the Cuckoo's Nest meeting on Wednesday night, at 5 months clean, and they had at least enough goddamn sense not to give me money other than a check to go to area, right? And so I started going to their area service committee, and for those of you in San Jose, it was in the Alano Club. It was downstairs in this little room, and there was maybe 10 people or 15 people around the table, and, you know, it wasn't a short amount of time that ASR, the area service representative that was going to region, you know, said maybe you'd like to, you know, be the alternate. So before I had 2 years clean, I was the alternate going to region. And I've had a lot of different service. I've always usually have some kind of group commitment, and I've had many different level subcommittee, area, region, world, commitments. I've had a lot of different commitments, but I really believe from my point of view for service to Narcotics Anonymous that I need to move around, because sometimes when I stay somewhere too long, I start thinking that I know a lot and that everything should be my way. And the basic text tells me in the traditions, it says that none of us are capable of making consistently good decisions all the time. None of us. That's what the beauty of group conscience is. Because when you place me in a position where I have too much power or too much ability to be running my show, like Gary mentioned it, like if I start thinking about what my ideas are all the time and I'm not running them by my support group, my sponsor, my home group, if I'm not saying that stuff out loud, I start believing the crazy shit that goes on in my head. And that's true in my personal life, and that's also true in Narcotics Anonymous. I can start to think I know. And that's bad for me, and I think that's bad for us. So in the late 90s, the World Convention came to San Jose in 96 we started the committees, and I got involved. We had this guy, Steve, who was really good at putting together like a super group of people who would work really hard. I mean, he was a sucky chair as far as he never did shit, but he was really good at getting a whole bunch of people who would do a whole bunch of stuff. So I ended up being on that committee, and that was right at the end of when the changes to Narcotics Anonymous were happening at the world level. Now, I've always been a person who has went to every conference agenda report since I've been clean. I have always participated. I have always voted. I'm a person who reads my voter handbook thing and figures out what I think about stuff. I'm an advocate or an activist, or I could end up being a terrorist if I don't watch my character defects, right? I could go all the way over to that. I have to be really careful. I mean, I'm a total animal lover, and I could be one of those people with a, you know, camera on my head infiltrating something, thinking we should bomb this place. I have to be really careful about where the pendulum swings. But I've always been informed, and I really believe that in Narcotics Anonymous, there's a lot of people who might come around here who don't care to be informed. But they probably don't vote either or don't care about a lot of things. And that's okay. Everybody can have their own way. But there should be a vehicle for those who want to be educated to figure out what's happening and have their voice heard. Like, there needs to be that. So I got involved with the World Convention. And then I ended up getting elected as a regional delegate right after that in the late 90s. And I went to my first World Service Conference before I was actually the delegate, just to kind of check it out the year before what was happening. We were still conducting it by Robert's Rules of Order, and it was still happening every year. And then the next year I went, and I was the delegate. And I remember thinking that I would go to the World Service Conference, and there would be, you know, it would be like all the bright, shining, you know, like, there'd be all kinds of people like me there that were passionate, cared about shit, would say what they thought. And I got there, and even in that environment, I was kind of surprised. Like, if you stood up and said what you thought or tried to, you know, like, people were like, why is she fucking rebel-rousing shit? Why won't she be quiet, you know? But at least in that environment, under Robert's Rules of Order, there was, like, I'm not personally at this point in our junction of my life a huge fan of consensus-based decision making. I think consensus-based decision making works really well in a subcommittee or a small group where we can discuss everything and kind of figure out what we want. But once we start to get larger, I think that what happens is I'm a very strong personality. So if you put me in a large group and you give me a mission, I can drive that thing to where I want it to go. So I don't think that that's really good for us. So at least the first conference I was at, there was Robert's Rules of Order. So if you got half a brain, you can figure out how this stuff works. And you can, and I've always been a person, and the Just for Today was talking about knowing what God's will is, right? And God's will for me has always been connected in here, right? That's always the place inside me where I'll have that kind of, you know, that feeling where when I'm going in a direction that I need not be, there's something in here. And there's an area in our region who went to consensus-based decision-making recently, totally the way they conduct business. And to oppose something that is being done, you need to raise a card and say what tradition it violates. I'm like, well, just because it doesn't violate a tradition doesn't mean it's a good damn idea, you know? Like, it doesn't need to violate a tradition for us to maybe think this isn't the road we should go down on. So if you have half a brain, you can figure out how this works and you might be able to, you know, maneuver into making some kind of decisions. And that was still when we had like quarterlies where we would meet in different places and we would talk about stuff, and there was still the end. It was the end of when we were actually, group conscience was actually directing things. But it was right when it was going to transition into this thing that I wasn't sure was going to work, but I tried to approach things with an open mind when we went to a single board and then disbanded the subcommittees because there was duplication of service. And truthfully, what I know today is that, and some of this is opinion, you know, my perspective, my vantage point and view, yours can be different. And I welcome that in Narcotics Anonymous. And I think I'm personally a person who thinks it's healthy for us to have a healthy debate, to go back and forth about stuff. I know that for some people, that's uncomfortable, you know? Some people don't like that. They think, oh, why are they fighting? That was one of the things that came up in the inventory. Well, it needs to be a kinder, softer, you know, You know, I don't know that it needs to be kinder and softer. Maybe you need to get a backbone and learn that, you know what I mean? I don't mean to be rude, but maybe you need to learn how to figure out what your opinion is and let it come out your mouth. You need to not be afraid anymore, right? You don't have to live in fear. And just because I think something doesn't mean you need to think something. And I work a program, so I learn to listen to people. And if you give me information that is different, I can change my mind. And then when the group conscience happens, right? When God expresses itself through our group conscience, think about poor God trying to work through us. Really? He's got to be going, Jesus fucking Christ, these people. This is not always easy. And sometimes in the name of group conscience, we've made decisions that weren't very good. That's been influenced by strong personalities or certain situations. But I have to believe that this is a higher power inspired program and that what we screw up will get fixed. Like, I really do believe that. So the next conference I go to is a 2-year conference cycle, and now we've changed over where it's not Robert's Rules of Order only for a couple of days, and we're doing all this kind of small group discussions, which small group discussions with the facilitator possibly could be a good idea. But we're not talking about anything in the small group. We're not talking about in the small groups the stuff we have conflict about to try to get ideas and let the air out. We're talking about abstract, weird, I mean, not totally weird, but stuff that's not really relevant to what we're deciding today. And depending on who your facilitator is, like if you've ever been in a small group discussion at work or some other kind of thing where you got a crappy facilitator and the shit is just all bad, you're in there for hours. I started calling it the kumbaya sessions. Like, oh, everybody should love each other and get along, you know. And it was kind of like being led. You know, there was some stuff going on to that period of time where our regions, even our Western states, had written some stuff and not liked some stuff that was going on and said some stuff to the World Service, board of directors and requested that it be discussed at the conference. And we got all the way through that conference I was at, all the way to the end when we're having the closing session. And we haven't talked about that at all. So I, you know, do one of the Roseanne stand up with my hand in the air, and the chairperson at the time he answers me like, what, Roseanne? And I'm like, well, you know, our region sent the stuff and we have, you know, and then you get kind of the answer like, you know, well, we've decided, and, you know, and all of that kind of stuff. You know, I'm still trying to participate. I'm still trying to have an open mind, and I'm still trying to say, well, maybe it's me. And I go back, I leave that conference. I'm looking at, you know, I'm trying to evaluate. I'm listening to other people's perspective because I'm not always right. Really. It's amazing, but it's true. One, somebody said to me really meanly at Area Service not that long ago, because they didn't like me and they found an opportunity to tell me about it. I thought it was rather inappropriate. I can't stand it. You talk all the time and you always think you're right. And I'm thinking, duh, anytime I open my mouth, I think I'm right. I'm not like spouting stuff off when I think I'm wrong. Anyway. And if I'm not educated about what I'm talking about, I'm not going to say anything. Hello? So anyway, I go another time to the, you know, the next time to the same, you know, the World Service Conference. And I think that we made the changes to that structure. Like, I don't think any person involved, I am not one of those people that thinks any of the names you may have heard dropped about something had some kind of evil intent or some kind of conspiracy to drive things or that they're some kind of rotten person. I just think when we make a structure where too few people have the ability to make decisions in a vacuum without larger input, we're in a little bit of a dangerous place. So there has been some conversation in the last couple of years coming out in the, and I'm also not a fan of stuff coming out in the conference agenda report that is like, let's approve in principle, you know, that everybody should, you know, there's stuff in there like, let's approve in principle that all attics should be clean, you know, roses should fly out your ass, you know. I mean, there's stuff in there like that, you know. Well, of course I'm going to approve in principle something. What does that actually mean? I mean, what does it mean? I mean, we write, when I got clean in this area, we didn't have guidelines for nothing. Now, some people don't particularly like guidelines, but what guidelines are the historical experience where we have maybe screwed some stuff up. That's what the traditions are at Alcoholics Anonymous, by the way. If you want to research them and figure out how they came about, you'll find that it came out of the historical, you know, what happened in history and how they screwed stuff up and had to right themselves by it. So guidelines are the same thing. Our history has dictated our experience, and here's some things that you might want to follow as you're carrying this thing forward. We didn't have guidelines to anything. I've helped write most of the guidelines that we have in our area that have later kind of gotten modified. And actually today, as a result of Narcotics Anonymous, I have a policy job. That's what I do for, you know, a government agency. I write policy and I advocate for my county at a state level. You know, and I'm up there ass about this and about that, and it's, you know, it's a Medi-Cal right now, and Affordable Care Act, so there's a lot of shit going on. So, I mean, I learned how to do and be that doing service in Narcotics Anonymous. Really, a lot of things that I have learned about myself, and I've learned how to take the mirror and look at Roseanne while I'm doing that. At one point in my recovery, by people who didn't really be involved in service, they said, you're really crazy around all that service stuff. Maybe you shouldn't do it. What I say is maybe you should work the steps, you know, and figure out why you're so crazy when you're doing it. But it doesn't mean you should stop doing it or stop participating. Today I don't have a world, region, or area commitment. I went to my area service committee for 28 consecutive years, whether I was had a commitment or not. And last year, you know, due to my job being really crazy, my sponsor and I said, it's time for you to, like, let go a little bit, right? Because there's two parts of me. There's the part of me that is passionate all the way in and wants, and then there's the other part of me that's afraid you're going to fuck it up if I back away. That's the truth. You know, help start a committee or start something else and then stay there for 15 years. I should always be involved in something, but like I started saying, when I stay too long, I start thinking I know. And we, I believe, have developed a system where people stay a little long. And the input, I don't believe, is as organic as it needs to be. Like, Narcotics Anonymous is a bottom-up kind of thing. Like, the groups and addicts are in charge. Now, that doesn't mean that addicts and home groups being in charge, we should hand over, you know, the World Convention budget to, you know, Joe with a year, you know. He shouldn't necessarily be running that. But it does mean that if Joe with 1 year wants to take a look at something, he should be able to figure it out. When I was the RD, we tried to figure out the financials. It was really challenging. Because it's all in this kind of big corporate way to look at stuff. If you try to figure out what's happening financially with the World Convention, which, by the way, has lost money for years and years and years, because all the staff costs for it are in somewhere else. Right? The way that it's lined out, it's very difficult to find things out. Now, do I think that all of that is terrible? No, because in Growth and Narcotics Anonymous, in a large nonprofit, you do have to make changes. I just am concerned when we don't have the ability for voice. And I also think that a lot of people coming into Narcotics Anonymous because of outside influences, Harry talked about earlier about courts sending people to Narcotics Anonymous, which they are doing in masses, in at least in our county. They want to send us a lot of people, but then they won't let us have facilities to have our events in. They just kind of want to send us all the people. I think that we really need to do some work around developing those relationships. But I think that, I don't even remember where I was going with that. Okay, all right. Oh, okay. Probably because I was going down a very opinion road. Anyway, I think that we should be able to figure it out. Like, as an RD, I spent a lot of hours trying to figure stuff out at that level. And some of it was very difficult. And then when you tried to make a change, because now you have this whole thing that you can't really submit motions in the same kind of way, you have to submit a motion. You have to submit a motion as a proposal, and then the proposal has to be vetted by somebody. And I understand the concept. Like, I've helped a lot of people who have wrote crappy motions rewrite their motions so they can actually get their intent. I've helped people write motions that I disagreed with what they were trying to do. And as a representative to a group, you should, any group, whether it's my home group, whether it's my area, whether it's my region, you should not necessarily know what I think, my opinion. You should know what my group I'm representing thinks. So I've helped other people actually formulate motions so that they could accomplish what they were trying to do that I disagreed with. Because truthfully, it doesn't matter. What is important is that the information is presented in a very succinct way so that the group that it's presented in front of, who's directly responsible to those they serve, is able to make an educated decision about it. And so if you're a member of your home group, or you're a member of your area, or you're a member of your region, you should know that you have the right and the power to be able to voice your opinion, stick your hand up in the air, participate in that group conscience freely and openly. Like, that is what the spirit of Narcotics Anonymous is about. Like, without that, you know, I think that some of the changes we made, we got help by a consulting group, help us make these changes, and maybe good for a regular, normal nonprofit that doesn't have the kind of organic nature that Narcotics Anonymous has. Because I know that it's much easier, like anything I'm doing, I've done a lot of event service, and it's really a lot easier if I plan the whole event and then get, you know, 100 or 200 volunteers to put it on. I mean, it's easier for me because I don't have to listen to all your thoughts and what you think and all that kind of stuff. And that's kind of some of the stuff that's happened to our surface structure. It's easier for some of the people who are doing it to function that way. But do I really believe that in this God-given higher power program, you know, I've read some stuff about some of our founding members and how we adopted the traditions in order to protect ourselves from ourselves. And the group conscience portion was stated very strongly because we knew that none of us were consistently capable of making good decisions all the time. And that in order for us to strive and keep it a spiritual-based program based on the 12 traditions, and I'm not a big fan of the concepts, based on the 12 traditions, that we needed to allow all the different voices to happen. And does that mean that it's going to take us longer to do stuff? Yes. But I think that that's okay. And the one thing that I always try to remember when I'm doing service to Narcotics Anonymous is everybody else doing it with me, regardless whether I agree with you or not, is doing it for the love of Narcotics Anonymous. Even if I might think that you're absolutely wrong or going down the wrong, I might think a lot of kind of things, I know that you wouldn't be doing it if you didn't love NA. I love NA. Thank you.